Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
What is Love Radio Show is sponsored by Fantasy App. Fantasy is a safe space to communicate about your fantasies and passions without fear of judgment. It is a dating app for open-minded couples and singles to experiment with your desires that don't have to be secret anymore.
Hello. This is What is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn, and this is Sasha Sugar. How you guys are doing? I hope your Sunday is doing great. And it's a holiday season, and both me and my guests are a little bit hungover today. So I hope you're hungover as well and having beautiful brunches with mimosas and listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. And today's topic is about hypnosis, hypnotherapy, and how we can make love to our subconscious minds through this therapy. And the reason why I chose hypnosis to be my theme for today's show is I feel it's a part of my spiritual awakening journey, as I call it. And thank you so much for being on it with me. I think I have tried so many different types of healing practices in the last 6 months, trying to go through my heartbreak and trying to reconnect with my inner source and trying to connect to God and all other things. Jeez, what only have I not done? But I have not done a hypnotherapy, which is quite an old practice. And I'm sure you all know Freud, but hypnotherapy goes even far earlier than famous Sigmund. Anyways, I'm so happy to have today as my guest Shauna Cummins. Is this the right way to pronounce?
Yes, that's correct.
Great. So Shauna is a professional hypnotherapist, and she's also a founder of the Wishcraft. You kind of can read it as witchcraft, but not really. It's a wishcraft. So hi, Shauna.
Hello. How are you? Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Right, me too. Thank you so much for coming. And Shauna's wearing a beautiful, hypnotizing, see-through black top. So if you guys just fall asleep and stop saying anything on the mic, it's part of the deal. It's part of our hypnotherapy. So the way I want to run the show today is we'll have some common questions about hypnosis. I think a lot of people have a lot of myth about hypnosis, and I'd like to demystify this therapy, and then we'll get into more specific examples of practices and best use of this therapy. And to get you all into hypnotizing mode, I'll play a beautiful track by this American/British band. If my computer stopped being a jerk. Sorry for my French. Okay. Just give me a sec. Well, Shauna, while I'm relaunching my Spotify list, and this is a really bad shout out to Spotify. Spotify, you suck today. Why don't you just give us a you know, quite a general definition of hypnosis and hypnotherapy, okay. Not getting into any specifics.
Okay, yeah. No, well, beginning with the word hypnosis, the etymology of the word hypnosis is from Greek, and it means a knowing sleep, or means kind of like a sleep. It's a combination of sleep and gnosis, which is knowledge. And that's interesting because that's really what we're working with. We're working with that in-between, like waking and, you know, unconscious state, feeling like you're about to fall asleep. And that's really what the hypnosis state is. What we know now, that state is the brainwave state of alpha, theta brainwave state. So it's really quite, you know, a simple state of mind where it's like relaxed and, you know, we're in and out of that state all the time. But the thing with hypnosis is that in that state, everybody is more suggestible. So it's an ideal time to plant the seeds of what you really want for yourself.
Oh, wow. That's getting really interesting. So we can plant seeds in your mind, guys. And before we start doing that, let's get our hypnotizing party started with this awesome track by Fleetwood Mac.
Yes, the same kind of story seems to come down from long ago. Two friends having coffee together when something flies by their window. It might be out on that lawn, which is wide, at least half of a playing field. Because there's no explaining what your imagination can make you see and feel. When your body looks nothing, you know you're hypnotized. Now it's not a meaningless question to ask if they've been and gone. I remember a talk about North Carolina in a strange, strange pond. You see, the sides were like glass in the thick of a forest without a road. And if any man's hand ever made that land, then I think it would have showed. And that's why it seemed like a dream. They got me hypnotized. And I know that's right.
Hello, hello, hello. This is What Is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. Are you guys hypnotized yet? I don't hear any voice. Shauna, do you hear any voices? I think our audience has just fallen asleep. Is this what happens to your patients during the sessions?
Sometimes, yeah. They do end up getting very sleepy.
We'll get into that. So, guys, come on, wake up. Let's listen to Shauna and myself talking about hypnosis and hypnotherapy as a healing practice and as a way to make love to your subconscious mind. This is Radio Free Brooklyn, and this is a live show. So if you have any questions, please call us at 718-928-9732. And we might or might not respond to a question. So, Shauna, let's start with some general description. So you've mentioned what hypnosis is. Are there different types of hypnosis? Or, if you could walk us through some of those, some of the types, if there are any, or like what are some of the common practices of hypnosis?
Well,
I'd love to know your personal story. How did you get to this? That's quite an unusual career choice. Bless you.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Shauna is about to sneeze, but she actually hasn't done it yet, so she might in a bit. But it's all cool. This is Radio Free Brooklyn. It's a free form radio. You can do whatever you want. Even say F word.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. It's a lot of pressure now.
You don't have to say no. It's not mandatory.
So there was a study done. People who swear more often are healthier or happier. Interesting.
Oh, fuck. I think okay. It has something to do with it. Okay. I'll try to start doing it more frequent, you bitches. All right, cancel that. No, I don't like to call people bitches. All right, so, back to hypnosis.
Yeah, back to hypnosis. So yeah, I mean, with the, like I was saying, like hypnosis, when we were talking about hypnosis, we're talking about that state of mind, that in-between state where everybody is, you know, more receptive to suggestion. And so in that state, we use all different sorts of techniques, you know, because we can use creative visualization, we can use neuro-linguistic programming, we can use, you know, conversational hypnosis. It's really quite a broad spectrum of techniques that you use in hypnosis. But the main goal when you use it therapeutically, you know, is to really kind of change your thoughts, to change your behavior. So when you think about stage hypnosis, the intention there is entertainment. But when you use it for therapy, the intention is to change, you know, for the better. So there's so many different techniques.
Actually, I forgot to mention that Sean is also an artist and who is utilizing hypnotizing practices in her performances and installations. So I think that's why you brought up this differentiation between the stage hypnosis and the therapeutic hypnosis.
Yeah, because it's quite different. I mean, the stage hypnosis really, you know, contributes to so much misconception of what hypnosis is.
All right.
But
what are some of those misconceptions?
Well, the misconception is, you know, that, you know, the sleazy stage hypnotist who can make you cluck like a chicken or, you know, mm-hmm. do something ridiculous and hilarious and humiliating, which they can do.
And get money for it.
And get money for it. But also, you know, they're using a lot of like kind of sleight of hand, you know, magic techniques. Also, I'm not an expert in stage hypnosis. I'm studying it, you know, but I can't really speak completely on it. But what I think is that they're definitely using techniques that to test who's most suggestible in the audience, and then they kind of use that and kind of exploit it a little bit for entertainment purposes, you know. So it's really a show, and so people are always like, oh, you're a hypnotist, like, can you make me do something I don't want to do? And I'm like, no, not if you don't want me to.
You know what? I just had this crazy idea that they might start using hypnotizing practices in marketing purposes.
Oh, they do. They do all the time. That's why when I, you know, when I say I'm a hypnotist and people, I don't get it as much anymore. And maybe it's because living in New York and people are so open and mm-hmm. to doing all these kinds of healing modalities and things like that. But it's amazing to me that people will do all these other like really intense, you know, crazy practices, like, you know, taking like toad venom or doing like, you know, it's kind of like ayahuasca. It's like a new kind of like DMT.
Wait, what is
therapy.
It? Can you tell me more about it?
I forget.
I'm really interested.
I forget what it is, but it's some kind of like toad venom that's like a psychedelic that people do. I'm sure it's pretty amazing, but
okay.
But
it's a drug.
I believe so. I think it comes from somewhere like in Brazil or the Amazon or something.
Oh my God. Okay.
And people go on a journey and it can be incredibly healing and amazing. I forget what it's called.
Yeah. Let me write it down. It's going to be next on my list. Things to try. No, that's a great point.
But people are open to that. But when I say I'm a hypnotist, they're like, oh my God, I would never do that. I was like, really? Because you're being hypnotized all the time. Advertising.
Absolutely.
You know, when you go to a movie, it's a slight trance. It's kind of like a hypnosis.
The whole product placement thing that mm-hmm. gets so much paid for.
Absolutely.
In a way, hypnotizing.
Especially this last year. I mean, political speeches, you can see it clearly being used on the masses. So I think it's when we say in, you know, hypnotherapy, is it all hypnosis is self-hypnosis to a certain extent. And so I kind of like make it my mission to show people, you know, how actually... where you have it's a natural ability.
So how did you get into this? What led you to the decision to become a hypnotherapist?
Well, kind
a
of
a legit hypnotherapist.
It kind of felt like all the roads were leading to like to it. You know, I just didn't know it. I couldn't have planned it better, but I didn't plan for it at all type of thing. I was always fascinated by it. I think my sister had gone to a hypnotherapist in high school, and it was, she only went to like one or two sessions, but it was very transformative and like helpful.
Just two
her.
Sessions?
Yeah, it was, wow. It was, I work more long term, but like those old school hypnotists, and some do now where they only have like a couple of sessions. Pretty amazing. They usually work on a very specific thing, you know, like whether it be changing behavior modification or trauma or something like that. But
what kind of behavior modification?
So for
can it be?
Yeah. Well, it's not, you know, that's like quitting smoking or losing weight, okay, or that kind of thing.
I was just trying to make up
like
an example. I usually act like a bitch. I don't want to do that anymore. Can you please change that? would that be a case for a hypnosis?
It's kind of like a voila. Okay, you're fixed.
Okay. Like so if there is a particular habit that you want to get yeah. rid of, you mm-hmm. might find use in hypnosis. Wow, that's fascinating.
So the seed was planted there when I was younger uh-huh. and I was quite fascinated by it. But I was also quite scared of it. Because I didn't quite understand it. And so I did a lot of different things. I mean, in undergraduate university, I studied literature and poetry, but I also had a concentration in social work. So I worked for a time, like an internship experience for the Department of Children and Family Services. And I did that in Chicago, like really being like, okay, I'm going to be a social worker. But then it wasn't quite right for me. And in fact, at the time, the mentor social worker that I was working under just did everything he could to convince me not to be a social worker. He's like, no, you have to do what you love. You'll help more people if you do what you love than being in this bureaucratic system that's broken. You know, like you have to write your poetry, go travel the world. Like, don't do this. Get out of.
Yeah, probably very thankful to that person. Right, really.
And he was such an amazing, social worker. It's deeply, you know, problematic, like, system, especially in Chicago.
So you were trying different things before you decided.
So I went a lot. So then after that, I basically then just took off traveling and teaching and kind of following my dream. And I was living in Europe and I was traveling in India all over the place. And then I ended up in New York. And when I came to New York,
Shana did the across the globe world, and then somehow she ended up in New York. People usually start New with New York, and then
right. I was supposed to start with it, but I was like, oh shoot, I have to go back there because uh-huh. I skipped over that. So okay. then I came over here, and then I followed some of my like artistic dreams, and I ended up kind of working publishing a magazine with some friends of mine that was quite great. It was a wonderful experience, and then I ended up working in fashion and doing all kinds of things that I always had wanted to do. But then when I got myself completely immersed in it, I was like, oh God, this isn't really for me. Like and it really burnt me out.
I blame you.
Because I was working night and day, you know, and I just everything was, you know, outside of me, you know, and I was very, very exhausted and
right.
far away from myself. And so I did that for about 5 years. And even though I had a ton of fun, it was amazing. I had a lot of fun, but it really wasn't fulfilling on a deeper level.
How did it get to hypnotize?
So then I was so burnt out, so depressed. And I was like, okay, I got to go back to social work because like that means that's more of who I am. So I'm going to go back and get my master's in social work, even though I don't want to work in the system or even though I've never, you know, I've always done my own thing. I have to do that. So then I was trying to get back there and I was working with a psychoanalyst and he was like,
so he was your therapist.
Yeah. He was my therapist. And then he was like, okay, yeah, that sounds like a good plan. Like do the social work thing. But then he was encouraging of these other, you know, healing modalities. And so I had thought I was going to go back and get my master's in social work and then do a specialization in psychoanalysis.
Yeah.
But even then I didn't really want to do that either. Cause I was like, I don't know, like this, you know,
Freud is overrated.
I'm much more like Jungian leaning than Freudian. But at any rate, during that time, my own healing process, I found hypnosis, and it was
so
deeply
healing. So you
tried
it on yourself.
Yeah, I went to a woman who I later trained with, and it was just really healing very quickly. And I have done a lot of counseling and therapy in my life, like both you know as a client and as a counselor, and it was incredible. I was like, why
didn't
they teach this?
You saw
this?
Results from the first session?
Yeah. It was because it just like dropped down like this kind of healing serum to a very deep place. And
just to be specific, so you went to see her just to try it out, or you went to see her with a specific issue you were going through at the time, or you just kind of were depressed in general and didn't see the light? Just kind of what I'm experiencing right now. Like, what was your motivation for the first hypnotherapy?
I guess it came down to, like, deep... Yeah, I was very depressed, I guess. But it was... What it was helping me with was self-worth. And, you know, interestingly enough, it was this particular trance that was very transformative for me, was deeply healing for my, like, for my self-love and, like, body issues, really. But that was just one facet of my insecurity.
It came out during the session. It wasn't even your intention on the first place to heal that aspect.
Right, in a way.
Wow.
So we did like a regression technique where I went back to when I was a kid, you know, junior high time, when I just had a lot of hatred towards my body and feeling like, you know, not beautiful or not comfortable, mm-hmm. or, you know, not lovable,
like so
all these things. But it's
things.
Very interesting because in this regression, what I did was, because you use your imagination. So you have the freedom of like using, you know, your imagination productively. So you kind of make up stories in order to heal yourself in this kind of trance state. So in this trance state, I went back to my younger self and I came back, you know, as a resourceful adult to help my younger self. And also, I brought in the idea of like, what if I had different help when I was younger, how that would have changed things for me. Like, what if I had, you know, family.
Different parents or more loving environment.
Or somebody who could really help me through this. Like, what if I was back mm-hmm. there with my younger self and I could help her understand. And
so in
help
a way, it was
her,
a process of healing your inner child.
That was, I think for me, like very transformative, because even though it was just an hour and a half trance after that, like, I was able to connect to that part of me and it started to heal. It was like all of a sudden, like the pathways were open and changing, transforming, you know, and I felt a lot more comfortable in my skin.
Wow.
And it was interesting because, you know, after that, like upon deeper, like, you know, analysis, I was thinking, because my mom and my, you know, my older sister, they really had a ton of confidence in themselves. And my mom, she's from Ireland, you know, my parents are from Ireland, and she didn't have any idea what was going on. She didn't understand the culture that I was growing up in the suburb of Chicago. And I didn't get any body insecurity or insecurity by myself from my mom, because she was a very confident, comfortable mm-hmm. in her skin, like, you know, sassy woman. And I didn't get that from her. If I was just getting from her, I got it 100% from magazines and music
and your
videos.
Your surroundings.
Because
Chicago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was what was happening there is I was conditioned, you know, with these hypnotic, you know, influences from media as a young, vulnerable woman who everything, all the message there was about, you know, gaining power to, you know, decrease self-worth for being a young woman, you know, like you have to be like this, so you have to buy that, or you have to be like this, or nobody will love you and you have to do that, you know? And these were the messages that were unconsciously like influencing me, and which ultimately caused, like, you know, practically, you know, a body dysmorphia issue, you know, in me.
So terrible.
But what the beautiful thing is, though, when I was doing hypnosis, I used the same mechanism that caused the illness to deprogram myself, decondition myself.
Okay.
And when
reprogram.
In, mm-hmm. and it's like it that has to happen. It has to happen for me, like outside of the realm of the conscious mind, because
so you basically just had to re-visualize how you look like to yourself, or just
a different perspective of feeling like, oh, wait a minute, you know, you are beautiful. You're perfect just the way you are. Like a better description, but like it's so hard to talk about. It's so experiential, you know, when you break it down to like these little words and phrases.
I was hoping we'll get to that. Okay.
So,
thank you so much for sharing. This is incredible. So basically that's why you decided that, wow, this is really, this is really working and this might help to others. And you decided to get your certification and training. And that's how you became the hypnotherapist.
Yeah, that was like the personal kind of journey, transformation.
Awesome. Let's, so from your now experience as a hypnotherapist, do you utilize any unique techniques, or do you identify yourself with a specific branch within the hypnotherapy? Let's say, do you use any, because I read on your website that you also bring in some kind of ancient healing, something with the ancient, archetypes are.
I like to bring it back to the original roots of it. I like to reference hypnosis as being something that's been around for a long, long time, because a lot of people think it's just around since the, you know, birth of psychoanalysis.
Right.
But really, it comes from ancient Egypt.
Practice.
Yeah, exactly. Ancient Egypt, mm-hmm, and ancient Greece, where they had the sleeping temples. And the sleeping temples in ancient Egypt were thought of as the original hospitals. So people would go there to heal all sorts of ailments, like physical, psychological, spiritual. And they would go into the temples, and then they would go into a trance state, usually induced by drumming or chanting. And then in that state, of course, they would be connecting to their patron deity of the time. And they would be used, suggestion therapy would be used on them. And that would, you know, they'd perform psychic surgery, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that, wow. And it was pretty.
So, are you using drums and chanting in your practices?
I don't, no. I snap a lot, and I use a lot of Brian Eno ambient music in the background.
Okay.
But,
all right.
But I do.
You know, I'm just gonna get information, because I'm gonna do it.
Cool.
I really want to do real hypnotherapy. So I'm just gonna get in the details of what I should expect. But so could you? We've already talked about what kind of issues patients come see you with, body behavior changing requests. What else? Can you just give us some idea of?
There's all sorts of things. At this point, it's there's nothing. Nothing is. I've heard it all, basically. I mean, no, I wouldn't say that, because it's you just never know. But it's just everything and anything, you know. But what is interesting is that after working with all these people over the past 6 years, is that I feel like, you know, we're all in this together, and we kind of all want the same thing. We're all looking for the same thing. And what I really work with, doesn't matter what I'm working with specifically, it always comes down to increasing self-worth and having a better relationship with yourself. So then you can have a better relationship with the world, with others, you know?
Right. And this is why hypnosis is a topic on the What Is Love show on Radio Free Brooklyn. It all comes down to, you know, loving yourself and loving the world and loving and just spreading the love. So
and just having a more collaborative relationship with yourself, especially in your inner dialogue, you know, because sometimes we become such a slave to our mind, and really it's only one part of the program.
I'm reading this amazing book, New Life, awaken to the life with purpose, and it talks a lot about how our mind is just so not us,
yeah.
But we think that that's what,
yes.
I think this is what I am, my mind, but it's not.
Right.
It's actually the opposite of what I am. It's just my ego talking, but there is so much more.
Exactly. It's
above
one of my,
and beyond that.
Absolutely. And that's so much what is my practice. Even with myself, I find with hypnosis, I'm constantly engaging with the fact that it's like that Rumi quote, the mind is a wonderful tool, but a terrible master. And you just, you know, it's true. You don't have to believe everything you think.
So, but just to give our audience an idea of when they might consider trying hypnosis, mm-hmm, therapy, because I feel, and when I say I feel, it's because of my personal experience. I'm not trying to set a standard healing or therapeutic journey for anyone else. I've tried so many different things, but hypnotherapy, and so I feel like maybe other people also think of hypnosis as the desperate last thing or last, mm-hmm, therapeutic practice that they want to do. They will go to regular therapies, they're going to take, you know, MDMA and LSD, they're going to do the holotropic breath work and go into Buddhist meditation and even do ayahuasca retreat in Peru and all the things.
Mm-hmm.
And then only then they may consider hypnosis. Is this something common you see among others, or is hypnosis quite a common practice to try among your patients?
I think it's becoming definitely since I've started 6 years ago. It feels like it's become more and more popular, more, mm-hmm, and more open to it. But people are more and more open to it. But at the same time, you know, it is a kind of a last resort for a lot of people. People who would never try like alternative therapy, who want to quit smoking, you know, they're so down to the wire and like to the edges. They're like, okay, I've heard this works. I'm going to come. So that's kind of interesting because you'll get people that like don't do any kind of like alternative therapy, but then they'll try hypnosis because it works really well to quit smoking. But for the most part, you know, I think it depends. You know, I think a lot of people are pretty open to it these days, but you know, I think, yeah.
But at which point I should consider hypnotherapy?
I think it's always a good, time to consider it, but really, because it's so helpful. I mean, it's very relaxing. You know, it's really good for calming down the nervous system. You always feel more positive and empowered. I mean,
so basically, happy people don't come to your office.
No, happy. I work with happy people all the time.
Okay.
I have like a handful of long-term clients who are very successful, very happy, like entrepreneurs, artists, like moving forward, constantly using as a practice of self-empowerment and inspiration, because it is a very creative, inspiring practice as well.
So do they get like crazy, innovative ideas in the hypnotherapy, or it just helped them
to...
Yeah,
they do.
Wow.
And also, you know, a lot of it is also used in sports psychology and performance psychology. It's really about, you know, working with your best self in the future and feeling those resources in the present moment.
That's what I've read, that even sportsmen sometimes use hypnotherapy.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the like primary.
Do they program themselves for a better performance, or how does it work when it comes to the performance oriented intentions?
It's also like, you know, learning to work with your mind and how to make it work for you. Because in our mind, I mean, of course we want to be present ideally, but in our mind, we have to work with, you know, negotiating the climate of the past, the present, and the future, because it's happening all the time at the same time in our mind. You know, we have our memories, we have our present worries, we have our future desires. So it's like, how do we navigate that to make it work for us? The brain tracks negativity in order to protect us, right? It's part of our fight or flight network. And, you know, and it means well, but it doesn't necessarily know what it's doing. And sometimes, especially now, we have so much information coming into our nervous system, like that cortisol, the stress hormone is just going, it's like fire alarms, like going crazy. So it tracks.
So the hypnosis just relaxes you and helps you focus on what's.
So it clears out like that negativity, you know, that it clears out the stress. Then you can see clearly, like it's kind of like the clouds are parting. You allow the conscious mind to relax and you can see in a more kind of from a bigger perspective. And so what the brain will kind of very often ruminate negative thoughts when we're stressed.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and then
everything looks darker than it is when you're not feeling
super dark, right?
Yeah.
And so it goes back, so it goes to the past a lot. And so what we do, or like potential fears or threats, but what we do with hypnosis is like we learn how to navigate that perspective, and we think about what we want to do, the future, like Olympic athletes have the gold medal before they play the game, you know, and they start to create new neural networks and pathways that lead them to that future because they're focusing on it. And your mind, you know, you can really collaborate with it. You can kind of start to master it by training it, you know, and it's not just like, okay, I'm not going to think about those thoughts. It's like using your awareness to understand where those thoughts are coming from with like mindfulness techniques and cognitive behavioral therapy techniques, and then practicing believing in yourself, you know, practicing, you know, creating visualizations and, you know, motivations in your mind that really get you out of that.
And so these visualizations are created in the therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or the patients kind of, you just give them a task. Okay. You have to create visualization of yourself on the pedestal of the Olympics.
It comes out naturally, and like, you know, it's custom to what's going on, you know, with the client and what they're at and what their goals are. But, you know, I really use the imagination as a tool for.
What if a person doesn't have imagination?
Everybody has an imagination.
Everybody has.
Yeah.
What if the two, do you have patients that are very difficult to work with because they're so blocked from their imaginative mind that they haven't hard time to visualize things, or it gets pretty easy to work with them once they get into that state of the hypnosis?
It's everybody's different, so it depends. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes a lot longer for people. But if they want to do it, you know, they can, for sure.
Okay.
It usually doesn't, the only time that it doesn't work well is when people don't want to do it. If you want to do it, then it works pretty well, you know? If like somebody's buys them, you know, their girlfriend or boyfriend
right.
a session and they don't really want to come, then usually it doesn't work that well. To believe, like you have to kind of believe and want to do it.
Thank you. Hey guys, so I actually do want to come to the session. So if any of you want to buy me a session, please call me on the Radio Free Brooklyn's call-in number 718-928-9738. Oh shit, I can't even pronounce it, which is a sign from universe. It's never nobody's going to buy me a pass to the
How about I give you a one for Christmas?
I'm so emotional.
We can do a special witchcraft session. Yes.
Thank you, Shauna.
Of course.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, thank you. Wait, guys, I'm having a moment here. So I'm going to play you another short but really beautiful song. It's actually by Coldplay, and I wasn't aware of this song by Coldplay. Not like I'm a huge fan of Coldplay, but you know, they're pretty famous. And it's called Hypnotizing, and it's actually quite beautiful. Let me just find it. So this is What Is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn, and I have Shauna Cummins today, who is a hypnotherapist, and she's amazing, and she's giving me my first free hypnosis session on Christmas. We'll be back in probably 2 minutes.
And rusting in the rubble, running to a fame. Need a brand new coat of paint. Myself in trouble, thinking about what ain't never gonna be a saint.
Hello, hello. This is What Is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. And this is Sasha Sugar. And I'm also being hypnotized here with Shauna Cummins. And today's topic is hypnotherapy as a way to make love to your subconscious mind. And as you guys were enjoying Coldplay, we've had a brief chat with Shauna. And pretty much what Shauna said, that the core kind of challenge and the core issue that drives and motivates people to start using hypnosis is any kind of stress they might be having and might not be even realizing, but it all comes down to helping them release and identify that stress. Well, first identify and then release, I believe.
Yeah, no, because people come in for all sorts of things. You know, quite commonly people come in to quit smoking, to, you know, kind of achieve their goals, lose weight. But really, you know, that people come in that you, two things happen that are very important in the beginning. One is clearing out that stress that keeps them stuck with, you know, especially in their thoughts. And then two, it's reversing the inner dialogue from one that has somehow become more negative and limiting to one that's more supportive and loving.
Can you give us some examples of the, the results that you've seen in your own patients, the issues that they came with and how you were able to help them to resolve them?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's one... Yeah.
I remember while I was thinking, I read on the website that one woman, she said that she talked a lot about you, and then she said, it's not magic, but it's kind of magical. And basically she said that she changed her life. That, which is a huge statement.
Yeah, it's true. That's a good example of how it feels, because it's quite simple actually, but then the effects can be profound, which is what happened with me.
Did you have a case when a woman came in and let's say said, me and my husband, we're just not getting along anymore. Like we're totally acting out on each other, and then through the hypnosis, you were able to identify why she acted a certain way. And then, let's say, a month or two later, she was like, yeah, we now have the best relationship ever. We never argue.
I haven't had that exact scenario, but that sounds like a good one. I hope that lady's out there making that happen for herself. But yeah, that can happen. You know, it depends. Every case is different. But one of my favorite cases is working with somebody who it really resonated with him in the beginning, and he really wanted to be, you know, kind of connecting to his best self. You know, he was in a job that he didn't like. He wanted to be in a relationship. He wanted to do work that was more meaningful. And, you know, when it really resonates with you,
I assure it wasn't
it's
me.
Like a, it's like a superpower. That's how I felt. I mean, after, as a practice for me, it's helped me so much, you know, like, I mean, in every aspect of my life, it's really helped me improve. So with him, I've been working with him long term now, but literally every single aspect of his life has changed dramatically. So he's in a totally new job. He started a nonprofit, you know, in India, where he's helping, you know, thousands of people. This like clean water project. It's doing so well. He's a huge. He's a
so
lead.
He lived in New York and then he moved to India.
No. He went on a like humanitarian project there and like rallied the whole thing up himself. And like he didn't even like public speaking. Now he has just had this huge fundraiser, and like he was like he like brought down the house with this like award winning speech, and like his eyesight improved.
Is he single?
He got married because he found love of his life.
I mean, oh my God, I'm so happy about a person.
He's just an amazing, inspiring person, but it's just so wonderful, you know, such a privilege
and
to work with people like that.
How long did it take you guys to get to that point?
Well, he was very committed. So I think, you know, the first, it resonated, you know, very quickly. And I think he saw some really tangible results probably in the first 3 to 6 sessions. But then for him, you know, he was... you know, such a visionary about really moving forward and expanding. And he's also on a, you know, a spiritual journey within that process as well. And he, you know, he comes like pretty much regularly, like, and it's been years now, but he's always improving. He's always like, you know, expanding. Well,
that's quite an example.
He sends me a lot of people.
Let's say people don't have let's say people don't have, sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh, so sorry. No, it's okay.
Let's say if I don't have that many years left on this earth, I'm just kidding. I do. I'm going to live a long life. But how on average to see any significant improvements, how many sessions do your patients need to take?
Well, I usually work from a much more like a holistic perspective, mm-hmm. meaning like I take in a lot of different factors, and I like to really work with increasing self-worth and confidence and self-compassion. And so that takes, it's a little bit of a longer approach, mm-hmm. I think. So I'd say, you know, 3 to 9 sessions. That's how I work.
Okay.
Because it becomes a practice. And then I want, they can then ultimately kind of use it on their own, you know. And in that time, they should have a good base. And of course, it's a good complementary therapy too, to regular therapy, you know, and other kind of wellness, like healing techniques and
honestly,
stuff like that.
If I'd love that to be my full-time job, if anybody paid me money to just go to different therapies and try different alternative and traditional methods,
you want me to become
a lab rabbit?
Not a lab rabbit, but you could be like a researcher and like writing about it and reviewing it and stuff like that.
OMFG.
You could have your own like
OMFG.
YouTube channel.
I almost feel like I've just kind of discovered my new potential career.
Well, there's so many out there. It's like, it's great to have somebody who knows
the
all about it.
The thing is, with me personally, I have such a high resistance to anything. Mm. And which also we could probably find out the reason why it's happening through hypnosis. But even when I'm like taking some crazy stuff like ayahuasca, like even the first ceremony I did, it wasn't really, mm-hmm. it didn't really hit me. When I did my first LSD, I had to take almost a double dosage to even have, you know, to see the visuals or anything. Like, it's really, I have really high, my first breath work, 6 hours of that crazy, I felt nothing. I was so pissed off. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
6 hours.
Wow, that's
so,
commitment.
Anyways.
There's a spectrum of suggestibility, you know, but there's this also a misconception that, you know, some people are like, oh, I can't be hypnotized. Like, only some people can be hypnotized. But it's not true, because like we said, you're being hypnotized all the time. You know, like advertising, political speeches, all these things are influencing you on a deeper level.
Just, if your mind is aware of these influences, then it gets trickier to...
It gets trickier to be. But there's these, you know, they say 80% of the population is moderately suggestible, 10% are highly resistant, and 10% are very suggestible. So you're probably in the highly resistant time, but it doesn't mean I've had people that are highly resistant and when they're open to it, it becomes a practice and they can, it can still, it works,
right.
You know?
What are some of your favorite in parentheses issues that you've worked with or enjoyed or found the most rewarding?
I mean, I would love to like, tell you like a really great crazy story or something like that, but really it comes down to, I really love when it resonates with people and they're like, oh my god, like I don't hate myself anymore. I don't, you know, and I feel more, I can connect to more,
I mean, that's huge,
like loving compassionate side of themselves, and ultimately then most importantly with other people around them, you know.
Wow. And did you have any negative experiences with the patients? By negative, I mean, first, if let's say someone came in, they didn't see any results, it was really hard to work with them, you didn't feel the trust from them, and they never came back. And I'm sure those happened, but how often do they happen? That's
very very rarely. Yeah, very rarely. But yeah, I've had mm-hmm. situations where people are like, no, this isn't, you know, working for me, or they're, you know. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love work. I do past life regression as well. And that's a very creative, interesting technique where people will regress to all sorts of scenarios that are just like, oh my god, like mind melding, you know, mm-hmm. situation. Like one time this client regressed to being a single celled amoeba, which was wild, you know, like it was like beyond.
Okay. That was his conscious decision, or it was his subconscious decision.
Well, that was the experience that he had in the trance, you know. But what ended up happening then was he ended up quitting smoking, because that experience was such a profound experience of connectivity, you know, and dissolution of self. that then he realized, you know, his smoking was keeping him separate in a way that he didn't want them to anymore.
Wow. That's profound.
That was pretty mind. And I've talked to these clients about these stories so I could share them. So just want to put that disclaimer out.
Well, you're not mentioning any names.
No, so. But still, like, it's not something that's
and, no, thank you for bringing that up. Have you had any kind of crazy experiences when your patients went so deep into trance that they had really painful or negative or disturbing images or experiences that scared them and they just left and never came back?
No, I haven't actually. And that, you know, when you were asking me in the beginning, like how I got into it and, mm-hmm. and like I said, my sister had a really great experience when I was much mm-hmm. younger. So it was always in my head. It's like, oh, that's so interesting. I wonder what happened there. How did that happen? What is hypnosis? And it took me a long time to come to it. And I had tried a lot of different healing, you know, work over the years and a ton of counseling and all that stuff and ton of therapy. But then when I got to hypnosis, I was like, oh God, I'm going to find out something horrible. It's either like I did something horrible or somebody did something horrible to me. Something is going to come out and it's going to be horrible. But actually, it was the opposite. What I found was the exact opposite mm-hmm. in a very real and deeply supportive way was like, I found that I could start to move through the fear, you know, and mm-hmm. with more love, more compassion, more
wow.
strength.
That and so, sounds very encouraging.
and that's what I find with, and I've worked with thousands of people now. And like, that's what happens.
Thousands of people?
Yeah.
Or you just said it as a metaphor?
No, I have, because I've been working full time for over 6 years. And for the first like 5 years, I'd see like six, eight people
wow.
a day for like, that, so it's, so
crazy.
I have
you
a pretty
are
good perspective.
Doing social work. This is amazing. It's just, if you look at it from a different angle.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a different model, I think, than most people in the beginning, because it felt much more like social work, but mm-hmm. with this kind of trippy trance edition.
Well, Shauna, since this is a What Is Love show, let's talk a bit about relationship, romantic relationship. How can hypnosis help you to enhance relationship, and can it somehow find you? Let's say I'm a single woman now, and I'd love to meet the one, hopefully the one. Basically, can the hypnosis help you find relationship, and can it then enhance relationship, and how?
Yeah, I think so. I have had, you know, clients who have used it for that purpose with the technique that I use or that I came up with called the wishcraft, which is really about kind of making your wishes come true. You know, it's more about kind of working with self-hypnosis and increasing your intuitive kind of intelligence. And so a lot of, you know, I'll have a lot of people come in wanting to get into relationship with that as their goal. And it's happened. I mean, one time I did it with a woman and she had this experience where she really envisioned herself in the future, you know, in a relationship and happy. And I asked her, okay, like, you know, what does he look like? Where'd you meet him? You know, we were just mm-hmm. kind of role playing the future. And she came up with this whole story like, oh, I met him outside my building. He was wearing a blue suit. He was doing this, you know? And I was like, okay, wonderful. And then she comes back in like a couple months later. She's like, I met the guy in the blue suit outside my building.
Like, did they stay together?
Yes, they're still together and they're very happy from what I understand.
Let's stop right there.
I mean, so that's just a coincidence, you know?
Okay,
I mean, who knows?
I mean,
who knows? You know, I don't know. So we can't. So what's the point even in saying, yeah, maybe there's, you know, maybe we are a little bit psychic for sure. But there's a lot of information available to us. And depending on what we focus on and how we train and open our mind and work with our intention, you know, we can really be open to a lot of positive things. So the main thing there was that she started to really get excited about herself moving forward and believing and feeling hopeful that it could happen. And then in that way, she was in a more solution mindset, you know?
So how critical is it to have a precise visualization when you work on the things like that, on imagining your future partner?
In the way that I work, like, it's not like, it's more about getting really good at practicing and connecting to believing in yourself and hoping the best for yourself, you know, and thinking that things are possible, seeing possibilities, feeling possibilities, and enjoying the process and appreciating yourself and, you know, being in that state of appreciation.
God, I need this so much.
That's what. Can we just
stop the show and do the session right now, right here? Oh, but we know we have another live show coming up. Actually, guys, yeah, you gotta stay with Radio for Brooklyn all day today because we have a bunch of live shows coming coming after What Is Love. But stay with us for the next 3 minutes as we are wrapping up here.
So I think it can definitely work in all sorts of ways, like.
What about the issues in the existing relationship, romantic relationship? Can hypnosis help to improve those, to identify the root of the issues, for instance, or just to, I guess, remove the blockages in the relationship?
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I haven't done exactly like, you know, couples therapy in that sense, but I have done like witchcraft ceremonies.
Whoa, what is that?
So like it's like an elaborate kind of well-wishing ceremony where we learn a little self-hypnosis. We do kind of a hypnosis inspired by a loving kindness meditation, you know, the Buddhist practice.
Yeah.
And then we do like an envisioning kind of lighting candle, like intention ceremony.
So it's a group process. You do it with a group of people.
Yeah, I like to do it with two people. I do it one-on-one, but I've recently started doing it with couples. Like, and it's been pretty beautiful because just to see people open up. First of all, the practice starts with really getting into a state of appreciation for yourself, which we very rarely do, you know. And so when you're in that practice, like it's about bringing your awareness to the things that you love and appreciate about yourself, and then what you love and appreciate about your partner, and then telling them that. And so that's a beautiful thing to experience together, because we rarely do that, again, because like our brain has that negativity bias. So very often it's easy for us to be like, oh, 10 things I hate about myself, 10 things I hate about you. Mm-hmm. That's going to come easy, you know, because it has more gravity in our mind. But then when you practice the appreciative state, it's so much more abundant, it feels so much better.
Yeah, that's what I've read a lot, that you also should start your day with listing the gratitudes. And even if you feel like piece of shit, or if you just feel like shit, or if you're just not feeling it, you should still, even if you just enjoy the cup of coffee in the morning, you should still kind of write it down that you're grateful and appreciate this amazing coffee in the morning, and then things start happen to you. I haven't started doing that yet, so.
One of my favorite techniques is, it's very simple, but you do it before you go to bed. It's a mind training exercise, so it's a memory practice. You review your day, and you choose three things that you can thank yourself, that you did for yourself that day, but new things every day. So, like, thank you for doing that radio show. Thank you for calling your friend. Thank you for whatever, you know? And that really helps, because it trains your mind.
And on this grateful note, I unfortunately have to stop the show. We have 20 seconds left. Shauna, thank you so much for coming to What Is Love, the Radio for Brooklyn. Guys, you can find Shauna at Maha Rose in Greenpoint. And I'll post information on the Instagram after the show.